The Vintage Gamer, episode 21. It's book review week at The Vintage Gamer with reviews of The Oxford History of Board Games, Asian Games, The Art of Contest, and The Game Makers.
This show is a member of Goblin, the gaming broadcast network, gbncom.com.
Hello and welcome to The Vintage Gamer, the podcast that seeks out great games from an earlier era. I'm your host, Jim Van Verth. So, this week on The Vintage Gamer, I was scheduled to talk about Dragon Quest. But what happened was that I started doing some research, digging around online, trying to find some information. And originally I didn't find much. And then I found this huge treasure trove of information, including a couple of sites which have extended the rules, kind of clean them up a little bit, and some sites about the history, and some sites about all the modules that were available for it. And it just became this big kind of research fest, which I have not quite concluded yet. So I think I'm going to wait another week on that, finish up the research, and do the show right. It is one of my favorite RPGs. So this week I'm going to actually do some reviews of just pulling some books off the shelves of the Vintage Gamer Library and talking about those. So I'll be back with those games. I'll be back with those books right after this.
Hello, I'm Don Dem.
I'm Derek Rex.
And I'm Jeremiah Lynch.
Hosts of Pulp Gamer, the paper game pod show at pulpgamer.com.
We'd like to invite you to join us in celebrating National Games Week this November 19th through the 25th.
National Games Week is a worldwide excuse to host or play games.
And lure unsuspecting victims into our hobby.
Or to show the veterans some awesome games that are now available.
Ideas and more information are available at nationalgamesweek.net.
May the dice always fall in your favor.
So the first book I'm going to talk about is The Oxford History of Board Games by David Parlett. For those who don't know, David Parlett is the designer of Hare and Tortoise, which I believe was the first winner of the Spiel des Jahres, I want to say back in 1980, maybe 1979. But he's apparently also a gaming historian as well. He's written a number of books on games, card games, various things like this. But probably his magnum opus is this Oxford History of Board Games. And this is made evident by the fact that the game is, well, out of print and in high demand. When I was first looking to buy a copy of it, I could only find copies for about $80. And I thought, well, I'll just wait to see if the price comes down. And then I looked a few months later when I was actually getting into this podcast, and the price had gone up to $120, and I was lucky enough to find a site, a British site, that sold me a copy for $50 plus $20 shipping. So my copy was $70. Seeking now for a copy of this book, it's running upwards of $399, which I think is quite ridiculous. It's a pretty good book, but it's not worth $400. Now, would I sell my copy? Of course not. I like having this copy, but I only paid $70 for it. It also has a big damage stamp on it. I'm not really sure where it is damaged. I have looked at it, and I don't see anything wrong with it. I suppose it just means that it's not mint. So I suspect I would not get the $400 that people are asking for out there. Probably that's just speculating, trying to get somebody to buy it for $400 because it's so rare. Now, the content of the book, as you might guess, is, well, board games, and it's talking about board game history. It's mainly talking about abstract board games when it says board games. It really doesn't talk much about the themed board games, and really doesn't get into the German board game market either. There is one chapter at the very end which talks about today's games and sort of jumps over all of these. But its primary focus is ancient historical games. It is sort of an answer to H.R. Murray's book, A History of Games Other Than Chess. Basically, he's trying to take that book, deconstruct it a little bit, and correct some of the historical inaccuracies, and reorganize it in a fashion that he finds more appealing. His organization goes from race games, which include such games like Parcheesi and Backgammon, quite a broad range there of games, space games, which are games about taking control of a space, so that covers Tic-Tac-Toe, Nine Man's Morris, and I think he also has Go. Yes, he has, in fact, Go listed here as a space game. And then there are chase games, which include Fox and Geese, and displace games, which are games of just taking pieces. I believe that Murray categorized these as war games instead, but in his sort of playful manner, Parlett just likes the rhyming thing. So that includes games like chess, and I suppose could include Go as well, since you're taking it in draughts or checkers. And chess, there's all the different variants of chess as well. And then he has one chapter of about 30 pages talking about today's games, basically covering games from about, I would say, the late 19th century to today, which doesn't leave room for a lot of history there. I think it's a really good book. It's very, it covers a lot of material, and it doesn't go into a great amount of detail about the rules of the games, because it is trying to cover tons and tons and tons of games in what is basically a, let's see here, a 375-page book. But it is a really nice book for covering the history of the games, and it's going to be a little more accurate than that H.R. Murray book that I mentioned. Now, is it worth $400? Goodness no, it is not worth $400. But I do recommend, if you can find a reasonably priced version of it, go out and get a copy. You might be tempted to speculate it afterwards, and I leave that up to you. If you can't find this book, there are some other books that he uses as references. Let's see if I can find them here. There's Robert Bell's Board and Table Games, which you can buy for a reasonable price on eBay, or at Amazon, actually. And as I mentioned, there's the H.J.R. Murray book, which is a history of board games other than chess. It does have some historical inaccuracies, and it also is generally biased towards the Western world, not thinking much of the Eastern world, or as he would refer to it, as the Orient. This is a book that came out in 1952, so it is a bit dated. I actually have H.D.R. Murray's book, A History of Chess, which I've gotten some enjoyment out, but it is quite dry, so I would expect that history of board games other than chess is also rather dry. So that's the Oxford History of Board Games. Another book that I have here is called Asian Games, The Art of Contest, and it is published by the Asia Society. And it is written by McKenzie and Finkel. Actually, I'm not sure if they are the editors, Colin McKenzie and Irving Finkel. And this is the accompanying book to go with an exhibition that was presented at the, I want to say, the Sackler Museum in Washington. It might have been the Freer Gallery. But this was a sort of an omnibus exhibition bringing in all sorts of artistic collectibles related to Asian games, and in particular, collectibles showing actual versions of ancient board games. Now, this is very much dedicated toward the Asian side of games, so you're not going to find the chessmen from the British Museum, for example. But you will find old Parcheesi boards, old Snakes and Ladder boards, if you're into such thing, and some games that don't have any rules anymore. So, for example, let's see, what do we have here? We have Liubo, which is a Chinese game. Apparently it lasted for 500 years, as far as, you know, being a game people play. And we don't have any rules for it. No one knows how to play it. There are some notions of how it might be played, but no one knows for sure. Other games that they have in here, of course, they have Shogi and Go and Wei Qi, which is the Chinese version of Go, playing cards, dominoes, mahjong, those things like that. Now, this is primarily an art book. There is a bit of history that's described in here. There's a tiny bit of rules, but the reason to get the book is for the pictures of these beautifully artistically created games. There's also some art that's related to games, pictures of people playing games, for example. and gaming tables and things like that as well. I originally wanted to go to this exhibition. I'm about 4.5 hours from D.C., and I dithered and I dithered and I dithered, and eventually it became May 15th, which is when the exhibition ended, and I thought, all right, well, I'm going to go up, I'm going to visit some friends, I'm going to take the whole family up there, we're going to have a nice family vacation, and we're going to go to the museum and see the actual exhibition. And the friends that we're going to do this with, well, their son got sick, and so we couldn't visit them. And it just kind of panned out, and I didn't end up going. So I was very happy to find this book on sale on the website for a reasonable price. It is no longer on sale for that reasonable price. I think I might have paid $16 for it. But you can find it out there for about $45, which is much more reasonable than the Parlett book, certainly. And if you like pretty pictures of games, I highly recommend checking it out. You can see some of the pictures on the Asian Games website, and I'll stick some links to that in the show notes. So that's two somewhat rare and somewhat hard to get a hold of books. And I'm going to finish up with one last book, which is not very hard to get a hold of and not very rare. And it's a pretty good book. Maybe they just printed much more copies than the other two, which is entirely possible. And that is Philip Orbanus's book called The Game Makers, which is the story of Parker Brothers. For those not familiar with Philip Orbanus, he is the president of Winning Moves Games. And he was originally an executive at Parker Brothers. I think he came there from Ideal. And this is sort of a work of love on his part, I believe. It's very clear that he loved working for Parker Brothers. And he loved working with the Parker family in particular. At the time he was there, the Parker family was not, in fact, running the company, but he still had access to them and talked to them and got a lot of the history from them in writing this book. Now, this is not really a book about games. It's a book about the business of games. Yes, there is some description of games and how they're played, but it's not really a book about rules. It's not a book about strategies. It's a book about a company that produces games. Or produce games, because they don't exist really anymore. It starts at the very beginning with George Parker forming Parker Brothers. He started it on his own and then dragged in his two brothers to help manage the company, because he couldn't do it all by himself. One of them was much better at the financial end of things than he was. He was much better at driving the game end and the promotion end. And then it grew from there. Things that I learned from this book, the ping pong was originally a Parker Brother trademark. Ping pong is actually a trademark for table tennis, which is the generic term. Mahjong, they helped drive the Mahjong craze in the 20s. Of course, there's all the infamous history behind Monopoly, which this book kind of sloughs over a little bit. It's going to paint Parker Brothers in a favorable light. It is a book about Parker Brothers and by a former executive of Parker Brothers. But the thing that struck me from the description of what is provided in this book is that Parker Brothers is very much like the Microsoft of their time. Not just in how they acquired Monopoly, but how they acquired other game properties as well. What they would do is they would see a property that was beginning to do quite well. Immediately they would buy it up, and they would buy up all of their games that were similar to it. So in the case of Monopoly, they bought Monopoly from Darrow, who was the guy who really didn't have the right to sell it to them, but did. They also went out, and as soon as it became clear that he wasn't the only person who had a version of this game, they went out and bought all the other versions of the game, including Lazy Maggie's version of the game. So they had exclusive control over all games that were like Monopoly. That's a Monopoly, and drove it to success. They did similar things with Clue, discovered that Clue was successful in Britain, brought it over, bought exclusive rights in the United States. Same thing with Risk. Same thing with a lot of other games. And that's basically how Microsoft brought themselves to success. They saw products that were successful, bought them out, and then tried to drive their competitors out of business with those products. It's perhaps not the most pleasing business practice, but it's effective. It works. It worked for Parker Brothers, and it certainly works for Microsoft. I do highly recommend this book. You can get it for really cheap. You can buy it for a buck. Go to half.com. You can find copies there for a dollar, and they go up in price. But hey, for for a dollar, you can't go wrong. And it's a pretty good quick read. The first part of the book is quite enjoyable, and then there's the part where Parker Brothers just kind of loses its focus. The family doesn't have control of the company anymore, and then the electronic games come in, and they try to compete in that venue, and things just go to pieces after that. And then the big monster, Hasbro, comes in, and it's all over. But before that point, it's very enjoyable, and I think you might enjoy picking up this book just for a nice light read about games and the games business.
This is the Kingfish.
Along with the Vicar.
And Super Geek Billy
from the Geek Label Podcast.
Sure, there are other geekish podcasts out there.
But really, who are we kidding?
Do you want your geek news?
Do you want your thoughts shared across the globe?
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Do you want a chance to win amazingly cool t-shirts?
Well, the game is afoot.
News, information, prizes.
We'll bribe you if we have to.
A look at any and everything from hardcore geek to stealth geek.
And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
Don't believe me? Then check out this completely random man on the street testimonial.
Hi, this is George Takei. I love listening to the Geek Label Podcast, and you will too.
Get your geek on with the Geek Label Podcast.
Another quality product from Geek Label.
So that's my very quick book review show. I'm sure I'll do another one in the future. I've got many other game books that I can talk about, but those were the three that I kind of picked off the shelf for this particular show. I'm not going to do any feedback this week. I'm going to save that for the Dragon Quest show, which hopefully will be next week. I have been doing a lot of preparation for it, and I am sorry that I didn't actually get it out. So I don't have feedback this week, but I do want to thank people who did send me the feedback they did on Awful Green Things from Outer Space. Most of the comments I have to that are up on the website. I also want to give a big thank you to those of you who gave me a thumbs up on Board Game Geek. That is greatly appreciated. It's nice to see all those thumbs up there. If you could keep doing that, that would be great. I have some other promotional things I'd like to talk to you guys about later. But I'll do that in the next show. I'll save that for later. So if you have any other feedback, please, you can always send me feedback at vintagejim@gmail.com. Or you can send me via Skype, via username jvsquare. And actually, I've added a Skype link to the website, so you can just click on that, and it'll take you right to Skype, open it up, and you can try to chat with me there. Or you can, of course, leave comments on the website, which is www.thevintagegamer.net. And thus concludes yet another rarefied episode of The Vintage Gamer. Our theme is performed by the trio Music of the Spheres, and available on the album of the same name at magnatune.com. Your humble host is Jim Van Verth. The next episode of The Vintage Gamer, well, I'm not going to say, because I might not do it, so it'll be a mystery. Until then, keep trying those new games, but don't forget to play the old ones. Thanks for listening.